Hey everybody, this episode of Guitar Radio Show is brought to you by Nico's USA Pickups. Made in America, incorporating period-specific materials for the most discerning guitarist, the tone will easily captivate your ears with an amazing balance of highs, mids, and bass response yielding unprecedented sound and feel. They have authentic tone from authentic materials. They're handcrafted in the USA. Nico's USA Pickups. Folks, go to nicosusapickups.com for more. We are giving away a set of Nico's USA Pickups 69 Voodoo Calibrated Strat Set. You want to win it? Go to guitarradioshow.com. Go to the Contact GRS tab. Fill in the information and put in the comment box, "I want those pickups," and you are automatically entered. Folks, we want to let you also know that we're going to be doing a special percentage off on all Nico's USA pickups coming very soon. Stay tuned to guitarradioshow.com and nicosusapickups.com for more information. You know, you can always tell a happy guitar and a happy guitarist just by the sounds they're making. Hear this? Those are Nico's USA pickups in one of my Strats. I'm a happy guy. Folks, NicosUSAPickups.com. Let's get started with the show. Aw, yeah. Well, hello everybody. Welcome to episode 80 of Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to all things guitar, dedicated to the guitar player, guitar builder, gear maker, and purveyors of those items that you may not know about, but you should. I'm your host, Mark Davin. And today we have a guitarist who is, wow, I mean, technically amazing, but beyond that, this is a guy who understands music on a whole nother level, thematic, compelling. Those are the words I would use. Mr. Rob Balducci is with us today. He is, this is a great conversation. He hails from my neck of the woods back when I was still in New York. And he is super talented, super forthcoming, and this was a really great interview. You know, it's funny. Sometimes I think, oh, maybe I should edit. Maybe I should take that out. Maybe I should... You know what? This was just such a great conversation. It was like my conversation with J.D. Simo or Greg Martin or Johnny Hyland. You know, it could have gone on forever because he's got so much to offer and he's so interesting and he's such a great guitar player. It could have gone on forever. And I'd love to have him back. So we have that for you today. Folks, I want to remind you, GuitarRadioShow.com. Come on over, visit. We've got Adam Hunt, who's going to be coming back real soon, starting in the month of August, with his blogs. We're looking forward to that. We're actually discussing what subjects we find will be most interesting. We're going to get quirky. Keep it interesting. We've got some gas reports coming too soon. I spoke to Steve the other day, and he's been purchasing. While I've been modding, he's been purchasing. Folks, you can contact us at guitarradioshow@gmail.com. Please like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Vine. We'll follow you back. Hey, check us out over on Google+. We're over there. I'm finding a lot of guitar players are going over there because they are having a hard time with the social distortion at Facebook. It's a little intense. So we've got that going on, and it's cool. A lot of cool communities over there. What else I want to tell you? Oh, as we mentioned in the very beginning of the show, we are doing that giveaway with Nico's USA Pickups. They are a sponsor of this show. We thank them very, very, very much. Go to nicosusapickups.com. Check them out. I am in the midst of giving you more sound clips. You heard that sound clip in the beginning. There's going to be a YouTube video for you to check out, so go to our YouTube page. And I imagine the folks over at Nico's will be also putting it up on their site as well. But you want to win the pickups? Go to guitarradioshow.com and go to the Contact GRS tab. Fill out the information there. Put in the comment box, I want those pickups. Hit send and you are entered. So please do that. I would highly recommend it. I mean, you heard that sound clip in the beginning, man. It's interesting, those pickups. They have such a warm sound to them and such a wide range within that five-position switch on the Strat. Such a wide range. I mean, I have, I don't know, what do I have, four Strats? Four Strats, and they all sound very differently. I mean, Strats do that anyway. But this one now has such a wide variety of stuff. It's like a guitar that I could take out and do almost any gig with now. So that's pretty cool. I'm very happy about that. So, and we'll have more information because we're going to be doing a full episode with the Nico's to just hear about them. Because once again, they're one of those startup companies that you may not know about, but you should. That's what the show's all about. So let's get right into our interview with Rob Balducci. If you don't know Rob, you're missing out. And I'm hoping that I'm turning some people on to him today. And I hope you enjoy it. Here's some excerpts from his latest record. And enjoy the interview. Check it out. folks, I am very happy and honored to have on the show Mr. Rob Balducci. Rob, welcome to Guitar Radio Show. How are you?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for being here, man. Rob's got a new record out, folks. It's called 821 Monroe Drive. And you can get it on iTunes. Where else can you get it, Rob?
You can get it, you get it on iTunes. You can get it on a lot of the download, most of the download sites.
Right.
Of course, you can get it through my website at robbalducci.com, and there you actually get the physical CD, mm-hmm. and it comes with some extras. That's the only place where you can get the actual backing tracks that come along with it digitally that I'll send you if you want to get it.
Yeah.
And it comes with like a poster, a signed picture, and picks and all kind of stuff like that. So I put a special packages together.
Yeah, man, I want a pick.
I could get you that.
Absolutely. Folks, this record is so good. They sent me a copy of it, and I have been like just digesting it. It's been like food for me over the last... Oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. And I want to, there are certain tracks I'm dying to talk to you about. And I wrote notes about certain tracks I want to talk to you about. But, I want to talk about, I love to always start everything off with origins. What were your origins? You come from where I grew up in New York, pretty much the same areas. And probably we hung out at a lot of the same places. probably dated a lot of the same girls. Who knows?
Slept in my room most of the time.
So, I'm always fascinated by what the geography and how that meant and what that meant to your maturation as a player.
Okay.
Talk to me about that.
Well, really, the geography, I don't know if the geography of coming from Queens, and spending time in Long Island in the summers when I was a kid, I think that had something to do with it. But I think more than that really came into my I'm the youngest of three. So it was really with my older sisters. Mm-hmm. So I had three older sisters, which really opened me up to a bunch of music that I wouldn't have heard anyplace else. And really, it was my older sister Barbara that really introduced me to the guitar. She was like a folk guitar player, mm-hmm. and she used to play at family things. And I was probably around 10, 11 years old, and I started to try and gravitate. I kind of gravitated towards her guitar. I kind of took it out of her room and stuff, and eventually she stopped playing, and I kind of stole it. So that's really what started it off.
And was there a particular guitar? I mean, after you heard her play and you said, wow, that's really great, that instrument resonates with me, what was there a certain guitar player that you said, I want to do that?
Yeah, that's the cool thing. It was she basically used to listen to the Rolling Stones.
Mm.
So I really got into the Rolling Stones, and especially like the Mick Taylor era.
Oh my God, that's my favorite right there.
Yeah.
Let It Bleed On. It was just even though Mick's really not on that record a whole lot, but yeah, absolutely. That era of the Stones was just so soulful. That's really interesting. That's really interesting. It's always good to talk to somebody from back home. I haven't been back home in a long time. And hear that, because we had those stations, those radio stations that were playing the Stones and Zeppelin.
PLJ.
Yeah, PLJ, BAB.
Jim Kerr, right?
Jim Kerr. Oh my God. God bless Jim Kerr. I think he has left this mortal coil, but God bless Jim Kerr. So then, were you right away, you said, electric guitar, it's going to be electric guitar.
Yeah. Well, I started with the acoustic thing, and, my parents knew that I was into it, by how much time I'm spending with it.
Right.
And, to get a little bit personal, I like to talk about it because I think it's a good thing to talk about. But, at the same time that I started to pick up the guitar, I came down with juvenile diabetes type 1. Mm-hmm. So around 11 years old. So really what ended up happening is the guitar was sort of my escape, you know what I mean? And really got, that's how I really sort of meditated on doing that, because mm-hmm. both things happened at the same time. And, you know, I had like a junky electric guitar that a next door neighbor gave me at that time. And my godmother, which was my Aunt Jill, you know, ended up like saying, hey, you know, like when I was around like, you know, 12 or so, she said, you know, we got to get him a guitar. So my father took me into the city, Sam Ash on 48th Street, and I got my first electric guitar.
That's great. What was it?
It was, you know, she gave us a budget, you know, and I forgot what the budget was. But no, I ended up getting something good. You know, I ended up getting like, it was like, it's cool. I still have it. It's called The Paul. And it's a walnut guitar with an ebony neck. And it was sort of like stripped down. It didn't have the shellac-y thing going on.
Right.
And that was the guitar that I got. And I still have it. I use it. Every record that I recorded, it's on there somewhere.
That's great. There's a testament to tradition right there. That's fantastic. I love that. That's great. And I remember that guitar.
Yeah, it's a cool guitar.
I remember it. I remember it. It's and you know what? For your first real guitar, that's a good thing to learn on.
Yeah, I was the youngest, the only boy. Then I came down with this thing, so they kind of spoiled me.
That's good. So, you're with Favored Nations Records.
Yes.
And is this, how many releases is this for you with Favored Nations?
Well, here's the thing is as my releases go, this is my fifth CD.
Mm-hmm.
The first CD was an independent record company called Circumstantial Records, which was distributed through Sony. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I have three records that were done through Steve Vai's Favored Nations.
Right.
And this record is the first record that I did not do through them because, to be honest with you, the way the industry is going right now, you know, the Favored Nations really isn't releasing stuff, you know what I mean, anymore.
Yeah.
Steve, I think, sometimes puts his stuff through there. So I decided to do this one myself.
Yeah, you know, it's getting tougher and tougher all the time for musicians and record companies. You know, I think some record companies, the bigger ones, with large distribution, I think they missed the boat in regards to digital download. If they would have, I think early on, if they would have gathered together and said, hey, let's create a coalition of record companies, they might have been able to get their arms around that, this whole situation, and maybe have controlled it a little bit better.
Right.
You know, but what, you know, whatever it is, the DIY thing though is refreshing in that you're getting more music from people that is truly theirs with less intervention.
Right.
Which I love. And I imagine that's what happened with this record.
Yeah, that's what happened with this record, you know, to be, and, you know, even with the other records, you know, like the Favored Nation stuff, you know, Steve was never like, hey, you know, you have to do this. It was Creed. That was the whole point of that label. He wanted to get musicians that I could be creative, so I kind of did my thing, and of course, you know, I sent it to him, and he had to write a refusal. He never refused any of them, which is a good sign.
Yeah, that's a great sign.
You know, and you know, of course, I sent him this one as well, just, you know, for him to hear it before. He was one of the first people to hear it, and he liked it as well, so that's great.
Yeah.
It's always a good boost.
Oh yeah, when somebody like that hears it and digs it, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into the record. I want to talk about it, and I think it's important for us to talk about the title track first, because it's the track for me that I keep going back to over and over again. I must have listened to that track, I don't know, at least 25 times already, listened to that track, because I love, how can I explain? And I think I said this to you in an email. I said it's a, and I wrote this down, so let me read it to you. It's emotional. I can feel the emotion in there just with the very first few notes, but the tone that you're getting is got this, you know, it's a departure while staying true to your style that people know you for, but you've got this R&B tone on the theme, and then it's balls out Balducci after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But a lot of people don't understand what 821 Monroe Drive is.
tell them the story of this of that location, what it means to you, and how it transposed to a song.
Sure. Well, the 821 Monroe Drive is an address. You know, it's a house that my family still owns to this day, and it was in my family since my mom is 86. My dad, sorry to, you know, sad news, actually passed away just a couple of days ago.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So you know, this record really, you know. It's, you know, it's funny how things happen. You know, this record is written about this house that my family had since my mother was a child. So, and that was left, you know, all her family, basically she's the one left out of 11 children, and the aunts left it to my family. So each of my sisters and my mother now own this house. And it was a house that, like, when I was a kid, you know, we would go there for the summer. So, like, when I was in school, after school was over, I would go there. And I just remember that, you know, going to this address, and, you know, really, it was like my retreat. And the guitar is what you know, it was a summer camp of guitar for me, because I was so into the guitar. You know, I call that the woodshedding, you know, years. You know, like, yeah. You know, 12 through 18, 17. You know, where I was able to go out there and I was getting turned on to different music. So now I wasn't only listening to what my sisters were. I started to get my own taste and got into Aerosmith. And, you know, of course, Kiss was big at that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ted Nugent and, you know, Pink Floyd, you know. So basically, the reason why I named the record this is because, like, this is sort of comes full circle for me. It's about a lot of different influences on here, and you know, it's sort of like the beginning of my life, which starts with the first track, which is Creation 9, and it builds up, and you know, to different points in my life up until now. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what the record is.
Well, you know, and it's funny because in my notes here, I have this is all in all is an incredibly introspective disc. You can tell it is. Yeah. You know, I mean, even for folks that might not know you, I think when they hear it, they're going to go, "Wow, this is somebody who is kind of painting a picture of an overall lifetime."
Yeah.
That's what I get from the record.
That's cool.
It's that track really just, wow, it just does it for me, man.
Yeah, well, a little bit back, so Creation 9, Creation is, the reason why it's 9 is because that's my birth month of September.
Uh-huh.
And Creation, so basically that, you know, the baby in the beginning is a symbolizing, supposed to be me being brought into this wonderful planet of ours. And, you know, that's what they kind of, and to me, when I thought about the song, you know, I wanted it to have like that. It has sort of like a haunting quality melody to it to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And quarterly to me, you know, I wanted to, you know, again, influences of my youth coming back in. To me, you know, I think of Floyd-y type of chords kind of going on. That's, you know, they're very phasey, you know, going on in the background.
Yeah.
Chordsy thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's sort of like, you know, where that kind of song, that's where it comes in.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those tunes that just, you hit it. It's haunting. It stays with you. You know,
yeah.
And I have to say that most of the tracks on the disc, I think, are one of those songs that kind of stay with you. Their thematic approach is you end up finding yourself humming them.
Right. You know, I'm so glad, you know, that you're saying this. You know what I mean? Because really, you know, that means a lot to me. Because really, that's what I've been trying to do. Like, you know, I think, you know, everyone thinks that the new material, of course, everyone's going to say it's the best, you know what I mean? But really what happens is, if you're progressing as a songwriter and as a player, of course the newest stuff is going to be the best, because, like, you know, you're honing your skill, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And my whole thing was that I wanted to write, you know, it's instrumental music, but it's instrumental music where that it's not just me going on and, hey, this is how fast I can play.
Right.
It's actually, there's a verse, there's a chorus.
Right.
And that's the thing that I want, what you just said. I want people to come away from these songs and, you know, go back and they could, you know, they could hum the melody.
Mm-hmm.
That means I did what I'm supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, so and it's funny because that's what music was really all about. And it's so funny because I remember at one point, I mean, there's a lot of cats out there who can play fast.
Yeah.
They can play ridiculously fast. But at one point I remember saying to somebody, actually it was Al Petrelli. Do you remember Al Petrelli?
Yeah.
Okay. Me and Al were sitting at Focus 2 Guitar Studios on Long Island. And we were sitting there and we were talking. This is a long time ago. This is his Michael Bolton days, okay? And we're sitting and we're watching this cat play and he's going off. I mean, he's got chops. But I looked at him and I said, "When did guitar become a competition sport?"
Yeah.
You know, I just don't get that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's cool. It's impressive. But it's not entirely musical.
Right.
So that's what I'm seeing, you know, and I'm hearing with this record for sure. It's like, wow. Yes, he can do that. He can bring that. He can bring the heat. But at the same time, he's bringing you something of substance, too. And that's what I look for.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, man. So there's another track. There's a bunch of tracks I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I want to pick your brain. And eventually I'm going to pick your brain about the gear you used on there, too. So,
yeah.
The track Not Enough.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's got these jazzy, you know, jazz pop leanings in the very beginning. I'm like, wow, what's that all about, you know? And with strong composition, and that's another one. It sticks in my head.
Yeah.
It's like an ice pick in the forehead in a good way.
Yeah, that's a cool tune. That I really like that tune. You know the weird thing about when you're writing stuff, you know, the thing is, you know, it's, and you know, I don't, the problem is I don't sit there and say, you know, I need a song like this. I need a heavy song, so I'm going to write a heavy song. Really, what happens is I sit down. And if I hear a melody and I hear a chord progression and then it does something to me, it means something to me, then I work with it. So it kind of runs itself.
Right.
I can't sit down and say that I want to write a song like this. So, you know, that song in particular, I had that chord progression and that starts the song.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, it's almost a little like it's almost a little bossa nova-y.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? When it starts.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that goes back to some of the, you know, when I was studying, you know, I studied jazz guitar and stuff. So mm-hmm. I definitely know, you know, I don't say it's my bag jazz, but I mean, I have the concept of it.
Right.
So I had these cool chords. I was messing around with it. And, you know, a lot of times what I do is when I write a song, I either have it usually has to have an inspiration or a title. That's the first thing that I have to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything kind of falls into place after that.
Mm-hmm.
And really what this song is about, Not Enough, is meaning, it basically means that, like, you know, like in any relationship, you know, everyone always says that, you know, love is not enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough for a relationship to stand. And this is my song to say that it is. Because really, that's really what matters. So I hate when people have that thing, well, you know, oh, well, you know, I know you guys love each other, but love is not enough. You know what I mean? You got to have this and you got to have that. Well, that not enough is my saying, yeah, it is. It's enough.
Cool. Cool.
You know what I mean? So that's what the song's about.
That's cool. Excellent. I like it. All right. I want to talk about another track.
Sure.
Oh, this track is crazy. Ruled by the Moon. Holy crap. Okay. The your control of feedback in the very beginning of the track, when you're starting to create that theme in the beginning of the song, and you get this
right.
note and you're holding that note, and it's and some people say, wow, he's holding that note a long time, but it's like, no, he's holding this note for a reason, yo. And it's this control of the note that takes feedback and makes it musical. You know, like the way Santana takes feedback and makes it musical. The way Hendrix made feedback musical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh my God. And you said more with one note than most people say with a million freaking notes.
Thanks a lot.
That track is like, wow, man. So, yeah, I want to hear about that track, and then I want to pick your brain about the gear on that track.
Sure. Well, that track, to me personally, is probably one of the best guitar tones I think that I had, especially on the melody.
Hell yeah!
It's thick. It's like fat.
Yes.
And the recording that feedback was hysterical because, you know, you have to be really loud. So I'm in the studio here, and then I mic the amp right here instead of having it in behind in a closet and it's covered up and stuff.
Right.
So we had to get that thing blazing, and then I had to do three of them. There's three actually.
Yes.
On top of each other.
I know.
So that was a lot of fun, especially with my friend Steve Simonson that did the record with me. He was blowing his brains out to me. Ruled by the Mood is another thing that comes back to me. Like, you know, I'm definitely into, like, you know, like the whole concept of, like, you know, the stars and you know, the planets and all that having to do with how we live our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what that means, is that, you know, I'm kind of ruled by the moon. That's where the title came from.
Mm-hmm.
Originally it was gonna the title for that was called Moonlight, and then, you know, I kind of thought the moon fit what I was trying to say more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the way, you know, especially this like some backwards stuff that happens in the beginning.
Yeah.
And you know, it's sort of like a mishmash of, I think, you know, again, I think it goes back to the whole song could be really, again, it's really about me in a certain sense, and that, like, that beginning thing could be, you know, that sound is like more like, you know, the first song was me being born, right? And this one, Ruled by the Moon, is more like I'm in this craziness, and that's what that sound mm-hmm. is in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like all this information being mm-hmm. brought into your brain,
right.
And you're seeing everything, hearing everything.
Right, right.
So that's sort of what that is.
Right.
And, you know, and then when the end comes, you know what I mean, and it gets really nice and light at the end and soft.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's, you know, it's coming to the reality of, you know, you grasped everything.
Yeah, realization.
Box.
Yeah,
yes.
It's realization. Absolutely. You know, it's funny too, because the more we talk about it, and that the first track is about you being born, like, this would be like, for me, just trying to understand and visualizing, creating that visualization is like adolescence into manhood, and having that realization at the end of, like,
right. You know, that's why it's, you know, that's really why sometimes too it's later in, you know, it's later in the record too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of has a thing going.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, what were you using on that on that track to get? I mean, it was like something waking up in deep water, man.
You know, I used, you know, the cool thing about this whole record was that it's the first time I did the guitar tracks in my own studio.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was able to, like, you know, get different guitar sounds. Like, a lot of times some of the records, you know, the tones were great and everything, but you don't, when you're going into a studio and you're paying time, you can't mess around that much,
right?
You know what I mean? And this, I had the opportunity to just, hey, listen, this song, you know, I'm gonna use, you know, I had a Cornford head that I used a Soldano, I used an EVH head, I used Mesa Boogie head on mm-hmm. stuff. So I used a lot of different amps to get the tones. And in this particular song, if I remember correctly, I used my Ibanez it's a my green Ibanez, which I call a Slee Stack, and it's a mahogany body that has a really warm tone to it. And when that melody starts after the feedback, it just sounds really fat and thick. Mm-hmm. And that's probably I'm using the Cornford head on there.
Yeah, just amazing. And is there anything on the floor as far as pedals on that one?
On that one, I think I'm going straight into the amp. My chain is going straight into the Cornford. It's going into a 412 Marshall cabinet from like 1966, which has original greenbacks.
Ooh.
And that has a SM57 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a Cornford 412 cabinet with 30-watt Celestians that has a Sennheiser 421.
Right.
And then both of those are going into a Vintec mic preamp,
mm-hmm.
which then goes into the Pro Tools rig. And so that's the chain. And then my guitar was that Ibanez. And I think during that track with the Cornford, I was using for an overdrive box, I was using a Ibanez Tube Screamer modded by Keeley, just to give it a little bit more sustain, and especially on the feedback stuff.
Yeah.
Overdrive box on, push and it pushes the tubes more.
Yeah, especially the front of the amp.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool, man. Really, really great. Oh, that track is just ridiculous. It's so good. All right, I want to talk about one more, and then I want to get into some other stuff with you.
Sure.
Track called Step into Liquid. All right, so here's the track. Here's the track. Okay, you want your track to get in the car and drive with? This is the track. This is the track. This is the track that if I was making a mixtape like back in the day, it would be Surfing with the Alien, and then this track right after it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm driving down like Wantagh Parkway or Meadowbrook Parkway, way too fast.
Yeah. You know, this is a really cool track, and the title is cool, and again the title brings it back to what I tell you about what it's about. It brings it back to H21. So basically, Monroe Drive. Step into Liquid. What I was watching this show, and you know, it was really funny that we were talking about this because it was on Showtime the other day. There's actually a movie called Step into Liquid. That's where I got the title from.
Ah.
And it's about surfing. So it's about these guys that go around, you know, they go around the world and they show these guys surfing these crazy waves and stuff. So I really liked the title, and I had the title first. So I started to think about like. What a surfer, you know, how a surfer would feel like when he's going through that crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And how it related was on my drive. My dad used to take me out, and I used to water ski. So it's the same type of thing. It's having that movement. So that's why that song, I think, you know, came out with that has that crazy feel, driving feel.
Yeah.
And that's what's the inspiration behind it. You know.
It's cool. That's an adrenaline rush. That song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. It's funny because I wrote here, pedal to the metal, great driving tune.
Yeah.
So,
sorry, I guess a good water ski tune.
Yeah, a good water skiing tune. Yeah, absolutely. That's great, man. Well, it's a great disc. I really love it. I'm, like I said, I've been just really just kind of using it like food. Food. I've been feeding my head with it, so it's been great. I know that you're also involved in doing lessons online, and you have, and I want to talk about that in a sec, but you have this really cool DVD learning method, and it's called Innovative Guitar.
Right.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
Well, you know, it's put out by a company called Rock House, and you know, you can get them in the guitar centers and you know, little stores. You can get them online. You can get it through my website. And you know, I'm you know, all of us guitar players were, you know, we were into that you know, the whole VHS you know, episode when we had all these crazy guitar DVDs coming out. Instead of DVDs with VHS.
Yeah.
You know, so you go back to the Paul Gilbert ones, and every guitar player's got that one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all this crazy stuff. But, you know, when they asked me to do one, I thought that I wanted to do something. If I was going to do one, I didn't want to do like you run a mill, because everyone has done what's going to be done already.
Right.
So what am I going to do? Show them how to play a lick? And I'm not really into, when I teach, I'm not into showing people how to play stuff, because I think that's counterproductive. So I didn't want to say, all right, here's my riff in Step into Liquid, and this is how it goes. That could be something, but I don't think that's what the focus should be. So I wanted it to be stuff that I felt was important. So they told me that I had free reign, and they would help me get it into a program. So they ended up being this great DVD. It's like there's like 36, 37 lessons on there. Starts out with like really basic stuff. Just because what I see in teaching for all this time, I've been teaching since I'm 15, 14, what I see is, you know, how you hold a pick and how your arm rests on the guitar, whether you pick with your wrist or your elbow. So I cover, like, some of these basic stuff just so if someone's doing it wrong, it can be corrected. I go through this whole thing about really just talking about, like, a confidence in yourself. And I think that's really important because I was really timid as a teenager. And when you're playing and you have to go in front of somebody, it's very important that you have a confidence in what you're doing. And it's something that you have to practice as much as you're playing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can't be going on stage and be thinking about, you know, I don't sound good. And, the guy in the front row is looking at me and, you know, oh, is my hair good tonight? And, you know, my jeans look good. And, you know, what did I eat for supper? You know, if you're thinking about all this stuff, there's no way you're going to be able to play.
Right.
And so the whole thing is trying to get, like, and you hear, like, all these other guitar players talk about it. It's sort of like getting in the zone and mm-hmm. feeling and just being worried about the music. And, you know, so I talked about that. And, you know, it goes through songwriting process a little bit and how to develop melodies. And I show, like, that's how I use my songs. I'll show, like, something like, well, here's how I use a melody. Maybe I'll play it very clean. And then the next time it comes around in the song, maybe I'll enhance it with an effect. And then I'll use the bar. So different ways just to develop a melody. You know, so it covers, like, a lot of interesting stuff. It covers technique, but all things that I felt were important.
So basically, you're trying to teach people an approach to vibe.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, because that's something that, you know, it's always kind of, things are always kind of stuck and compartmentalized in regards to, okay, you're going to learn these scales, and then you're going to do, you know, start with your chromatics, and then you're going to learn this mode, and then so on and so forth. But we don't talk about that. We don't talk about vibe.
Right. And, you know, another really cool thing that I started to get, you know, people started to responding to this when I started doing, like, these, when I did some classes and master classes and stuff in clinics. And it's like, I give, like, exercises on the DVD, but, like, I'll give you an example. Like, when I'm trying to write a song, you know what I mean? Like an exercise would be, all right, so everyone has a cat or a dog or something. So think of a chord that reminds you of your cat. You know what I mean? So then I would tell a student, you know, let me play a chord that reminds you of that, and then they would do it. And then if I asked you, Mark, to do the same thing, your chord's going to be different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea is to try and get abstract stuff into your playing, and then you could write a melody that reminds you of your mom. Write another chord that reminds you of your girlfriend. And so this way you start to get stuff, meaning into what you're playing. Yeah. And it's a cool concept.
That's a great concept. I love that. I mean, and it's you know, to some people that's going to seem very abstract, but at the same time, it's actually very base.
Right.
It's very basic of human behavior.
Right.
Who are you? Who are you? And what's your sound because of who you are?
Right.
Yeah. That's killer. That's a great idea. I love that. Damn, why didn't I think of that? Damn. So with Lessons Online, what's that all about?
Well, you know, now, you know, there used to be a point where there was from what I've been teaching all the time, where there was a lot of students, and you would get the weekly students coming all the time. Mm-hmm. And that seems to have changed for me, I think, and other teachers that I know. So basically what happens now is, I guess, the whole economy thing, people don't have to spend money on lessons each week, and you know what I mean? And I try and keep, you know, I keep my prices. I always knew this because I was taking lessons, so my prices are not expensive. I charge 50, I think it's 52 on Skype for an hour lesson. And, through the video, through the Skype, it's the same thing, really. They have the guitar, I have the guitar, we talk about stuff, and if it's something that has to be written, I'll write it down, and then I scan it, and I send it to you in an email.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times, you know, the cool thing about it is you get people from all, you know, I don't only get local people, I'm getting people from Florida, I'm getting people from England, mm-hmm. got a guy from Japan, you know what I mean? So you could reach out to everybody, which is a cool thing. Yeah,
absolutely, that's the great thing. How do people get a hold of you for that?
It's just straight to the website, so it's robalducci.com.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. So I need to talk about something, and if I didn't talk about this, the audience would send me hate mail. So I need to talk about gear with you.
Sure.
All right. Now you I mean, I'm looking behind you, first of all. I'm looking at that shelf behind you, and I'm like, Jesus, what the hell? All right, but you got like a toy store going on over there. I mean, you know, I know if I turned this around, you'd see the same thing kind of here, absolutely, too. But, I mean, you never really have to get anything anymore. You're working with Ibanez, D'Addario. Good Long Island boys, by the way.
Yes.
DiMarzio, nice guy from Staten Island.
Yes.
Larry, we love you, Larry. George Ells, right. Morley, Dunlap, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. So walk us through your typical rig, starting with your guitar, and walk us all the way through the chain.
Okay, so you know, I'm pretty basic than what I used to be. So now I'm kind of more into, you know, I'll go through one thing and then I'll tell you something new that I'm using. So basically, I went back to basics. So a good guitar head, which I was using Cornfords, Soldano, I could use really anything. Mm-hmm. Anything that has a nice an overdrive to it. And then I really don't like to use large cabinets anymore. I use a 212 cabinet because I like it. It's closer to the floor, so it's not my ear level. I don't really like to hear the sound coming at me. Mm-hmm. So I like 212 cabs. Mm-hmm. I like vintage 30 Celestians. Mm-hmm. So that's normally what I use. And then my pedal board is you know, of course I have my Morley Wah. I have a Digitech Whammy, which I just recently, I was using the original one, and I got the 5, Whammy 5, and I think it's great by Digitech. Mm-hmm. And then I go into an overdrive box, and I'm like an overdrive nut. I have like 22 screamers here.
Yeah, I see that.
Ones, you know, some of them are modded, some of them aren't.
Yeah. You got a problem, Rob.
I do. My wife wants to shoot me. But I'll use an overdrive box. So it depends on the amp I'm using or the mood that I feel. But, you know, right now I'm using a Keeley modded tube screamer. Mm-hmm. They call it the Franken screamer, I think he calls it. Mm-hmm. And then I use some sort of sometimes I use a chorus, which is an old Arion chorus, or I'll use a phaser. So either one or the other, not both. And
what do you like in phasers?
Phases, I like the phase, the, you know, the Dunlap phase 90.
Yeah.
And then I'm also using a phase 90 by Dunlap, and it's modded by EWS, which is a company in Japan. Mm-hmm. And they kind of put like a Univibe out of it as well.
Oh, neat. Yeah,
so
that's
cool.
Kind
of cool.
Yeah.
I use that. And then I use this really cool thing by Exotic Pedals. It's called an EP booster. Mm-hmm. And it's just a one knob pedal, and it's basically it's supposed to give you that warmth from the old Echoplexes that, you know, Jimmy Page used to use and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really just the sound that you got when you were going through the tape thing, and it sort of kind of gave you a good overdrive bassy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I use that as well. And then I just use a basic Boss, you know, NS2 noise suppressor. Mm-hmm. And straight into the amp. So live, you know, that's really my rig. So it's pedals, and then through I only have one thing that goes through the loop, and it's usually a delay. Right now I'm using the one setting. It's on all the time, and I'm using the TC Electronics flashback delay.
Yeah, now I've been hearing so much great things about that TC, and now they're making there's three in a row.
Right.
Yeah.
There's three different ones.
That's crazy.
But, you know, so that was my setup for the longest time. And then, you know, just recently, I'm glad you asked me about equipment. I just recently started using this pedal by, it's called Atomic Pedals, and it's designed by the Studio Devil software. And it's a modeling pedal. Mm-hmm. It's not too big. And they, you know, I've been working with them, and we kind of came over and they modeled my Cornford. So there's a corn, they call it a cornfield. It's in there. It's a cornfield setting. And I've been using that pedal now instead of a head with just a power amp going into my cabinets.
Wow.
same pedals, but instead of going into a head, I'm just using this pedal with a power amp, and it sounds great. I mean, I'm loving it.
Wow.
So that's kind of what I've been using.
That's cool. And is any of that on the record?
I used it a little bit. You know, this wasn't out. So I used some of the software, but this pedal wasn't out yet. But this is what it is. You know, it's small.
Wow, it's small.
Yeah. And it sounds great, man.
That's cool. I'm going to have to go find one of those and try it out. So with the Dario, are you using 9s, 10s? What are you using?
I'm using I'm a 9 guy, so I use 9s on guitars that have bars, mm-hmm. and any guitars that don't have a floating trem, I use the 10s. Mm-hmm. And I'm using the new strings that they have, the NYXLs.
Oh, you are. What are they? I haven't tried them yet. I've been meaning to pick up a set. How are they?
They're amazing.
So how do they differ from the regular XL?
Well, it's basically if you see what they say, basically they designed it supposedly so that first of all they last longer than regular strings, okay. which is great, and they do. And they also did something like with where they actually got them where they you know they designed it around an EQ curve where mm-hmm. it actually for a guitar it boosts. A certain level where it actually helps you cut through. And to be honest with you, I noticed it. You know what I mean? I feel it, to me, they just feel a little bit more elasticy and smooth to me, mm-hmm. which I really like. Mm-hmm. I use the bar like a maniac, and I don't break strings with the D'Addario's, never.
Right.
You know, and they stay in tune, and these especially to me stay in tune better than the other ones.
Right. Cool. That's cool. And your Morley pedal, Morley wah, which wah are you using?
I use a couple of different ones. On the recording, I used a lot. There's a George Lynch one that I use, which is kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
I used the first Bad Horsey.
Right.
I like the majority, like live, I use the Tremonti one.
Which oh, yeah.
is a little more traditional sounding.
Yeah.
It's a little more, not so high-endy.
Yeah.
And I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I've never tried that one. I have the original Bad Horsey, one of the first ones when it first came out. It's a killer pedal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, built like a brick shit house, man.
Ow.
Every single one of their pedals, you can't destroy them. So, you know, I always ask this: what's next for you? I mean, this album is really because it is so introspective. How are you going to top something like this?
I know. Listen, I want to shoot myself after every record. I don't have to do another one. But, you know, the thing with me is, to be honest with you, is here's the thing. I think that because of, you know, listen, I'm not, you know, some million albums selling artist. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm on a label where they're forcing me. Like a lot of these bands, you'll see they have to put out a record at a certain amount of time each year. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is, to me, is that's why if you listen, I'm really proud of my catalog, because if you go back and you listen to each of my records, they sound different. There's mm-hmm. different songwriting. So, you know, and it's not that it's bad on each one. It's just a different type of thing. And mm-hmm. I think the reason for that is that you need some time to live life to be able to get inspiration to write.
Mm-hmm.
So if I force another record out next year, it's going to sound the same.
Right.
So
right.
I, you know, what I do is, you know, and especially, you know, because, you know, I'm an independent artist, I'm going to be promoting this record for a while. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And in the meantime, I'm going to go through my life, and different experiences are going to happen to me, and it's going to give me some sparks, some new inspiration, and then I start to write, you know, then I'll start to write, you know, new stuff. You know, and it's, things are starting to trickle in here and there, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Especially now, you know, it's a big thing that my dad just passing away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to strum up a whole different type of thing.
Absolutely. So, and it's a maturation process.
You know?
It's a maturation process. And that's probably, you know, when you listen to all your records, if we were to sit down and say, okay, let's put on the first one, I'm going to listen all the way through to the latest, we're going to see the maturation. We're going to see that process. Yeah.
You know, the weird thing about this is, you know, when you brought up a couple of tracks like Step Into Liquid, that riff.
Yeah.
the riff that happens like after the kind of sludgy beginning.
Yeah.
That riff and the riff into it, I had that riff for my first CD, and I just never could finish the song.
Wow.
And it took me to see that Step Into Liquid video, mm-hmm. to use it and say, well, you know what, this would, and then I was able to finish the song.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that happens, you know, so that, you know, I have like little pieces and bits of inspiration that, you know, you think aren't anything, mm-hmm. until you start to write and you know, and then I'll go back and I'll listen to something and I'll be like, wow, you know, mm-hmm. that relates to something now, and then I could use it.
Yeah. Well, like I always say, the universe provides, man. And it provides when it's ready.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I got to tell you, man, talking to you is a blast. And it's this record is fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
It really is. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. You know, I forgot to mention that, you know, it's a cool thing that I'm doing, and I haven't finished them yet because I got sidetracked. But what I did was I did like a track by track where I do like a video on my YouTube. So it's youtube.com/RobBalducci. Mm-hmm. And what I do is you'll see a playlist there that'll have Creation 9, and then I go in and we talk about what was the inspiration. I talk about it,
right.
And I actually play live.
Right.
With the backing track of the record to part of the song. So I kind of do that for each song. And the next one I'm going to do soon is going to be Step Into Liquid, but you'll find them all on there.
That's
so
cool.
It's kind of interesting.
That's cool. Can I post that on my social media?
Yeah.
All right. I will do that. This way you can turn people on to what's going on here. Hey, man, don't hang up right away, but I want to thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. Really, it's a pleasure. I'm glad that you like the music and you're picking up on all the nuances. That means a lot.
Yeah, man, it's there, and I don't think it's just because we're both from the same geography either. Folks, go to robbalducci.com and check this stuff out. You can go to anywhere there's downloadable content, and you can get the new record, 821 Monroe Drive. I highly recommend it. It's going to make you want to do one of two things. It's either going to make you want to go, oh, shit, I got to go practice. Or it's going to make you say, oh, shit, I quit. Honestly, I think it's actually a very inspirational record. And I think it's going to do that. I think it's going to inspire people.
Yeah, that's what I hope.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sir. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
All right.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Was that? Wasn't that great? Oh, man. Thank you, Rob, for being on the show. And I want to thank his people also for putting us together and making this happen. It was great, man. Anytime you want to be on this show, just say the word. It's fantastic. Check out his new record. It's great. Like I said, I'm very excited about it, obviously. I mean, Some of the stuff that he's doing there is, you know, I mean, in that particular genre of guitar music is sometimes looked upon as like, oh, that's a little passe. No, not this. He is taking it to a whole nother place now, which is wonderful. It's highly creative and a wonderful use of the instrument. Really, really love it. Hey, we got to get out of here. But I just want to say, folks, don't forget guitarradioshow.com, gmail.com, guitarradioshow@gmail.com, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, Twitter, Vine, Google+, all that stuff. Folks, don't forget, if you haven't signed up for that giveaway, please do it. You're crazy if you don't, because it could be you. Go to guitarradioshow.com. Go to the Contact GRS tab. Put in there, I want those pickups. Hit send and rock on, baby. And don't forget, when you hear the show, please, if you hear us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbay, Podomatic, iPod Directory, Player FM, or any of those, please rate and review the show. It helps us a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. Meantime, we got to get out of here. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Keep on playing, and we will see you on the next episode of Guitar Radio Show. Peace.
Now everybody say, F you, Ed. I like this crowd already.
GRS Productions.